We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
West Virginia coach Bob Huggins visited with media earlier today. Listen to what he had to say coming up right after this.
Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus brings you more than 400 exclusive live events, select conference championship events, coaches press conferences, and original content. Sign up for Big 12 Now on ESPNplus.com/Big12Now.
I don't have much not to like right now. I mean, they've been good. They're working hard. They're paying attention. They're trying to do what we ask them to do. We've kind of thrown a lot at them early just to see how they would react to different things, and they've been real good.
Next, we'll go to Kevin Kinder.
Coach, last year we talked about Derek Culver, the progress he made, and more accountable. What are the major progress steps you've seen from him this year? And did you all give him specific assignments at the end of last season, you know, to work on that hopefully he would come back better at this year?
Yeah, we did. I think Derek has worked at his free throw shooting. I think that was a big thing. People fouled him as much as they could down the stretch, but he's worked at that. He's our best rebounder. He rebounds everything in his area and a lot of things outside his area.
When you're talking about out of area rebounding, I'm assuming, is that like one step away, two steps away? You know, what's the range on that? What's your idea of that?
As far as he has to go to get it. I mean, and he does. I mean, he'll go from one side of the floor to the other. He pursues the ball better than anybody would have.
Next, we'll go to Skyler.
Hey, Coach. Last year, really, Emmett was pretty much the only guy that you had at the wing position. That was a true wing. Now you've got obviously Jalen Bridges and Taj Thwaite. Do you feel like you have more flexibility there than you did last year, which I'm pretty sure is a pretty easy answer?
Well, I think that's probably the area that we have the most guys at. Taz has really been a wing for the majority of his career. Sean's been an off-the-ball guy. I mean, I guess that's a wing. and the guys that you mentioned. So we've got a lot of competition, I think, going on for the two wing spots.
Good to Justin Jackson.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Good, Justin. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, kind of a two-part question here. Last week, the Division I Council made the decision to give an extra year of eligibility to winter athletes. I'm sure there's some pluses and minuses to that. And then kind of wondering what your thoughts are on that. And then another question being, players, have you had conversations with players in terms of their options on, opting out for a season, that kind of thing? Has any player approached you wondering what options are when it comes to that kind of stuff?
No, Justin, I think our guys are of the mindset that we've got a chance to do some special things and they want to be part of it. I haven't had anybody talk about next year or anything other than this year and what we had to do to be successful this year.
And then with the added year of eligibility, pluses and minuses to it, I'm sure it's good for some players, maybe not so good in other areas, maybe in recruiting and stuff.
Well, I mean, I don't know who wouldn't take Taz and Gabe back if they wanted to come back. Those are the two guys that if everything was normal, which nothing's normal, but if everything was normal, those are the guys that would be finished their eligibility this year. And right. With what's happening, they're going to have the opportunity to come back. And I haven't really talked to them about it. I don't know why they wouldn't do that unless, a really big opportunity comes their way to go make a bunch of money and play in Europe or something. But I don't at this point in time see that happening.
For a kid like Cine, would there be some options there to where the point where, you could play him this year a little bit, let him gain some experience, and then he would obviously still be a freshman next year?
Well, we could, Justin, but I think if you look at the guys that we have inside now, I mean, Derek and Oscar obviously are going to eat up minutes. Gabe played a bunch of minutes a year ago. Isaiah, I think, brings us something that we don't have in that a guy who is a lot more skilled at that position and at 6'10". I mean, that's two positions and that's four guys right there. Right. I don't know, unless something happened where somebody got hurt or sick or something, I don't know why we would need another post guy. And I like what Cine's doing now. I mean, he's working like crazy in practice. He's gotten better just in the short span here. And I mean, he's the guy who I think down the road is going to be a really good player for us.
Thank you, Coach.
We'll go next to Mason.
Hey, Coach. First and foremost, I'd like to formally request that we do these press conferences with the outdoor backdrop from now on. But as far as practice goes this week, obviously there's a big difference between working out individually and finally getting together and working out as a team.
Well, first of all, I appreciate you liking the outdoors. I kind of like the outdoors, and I know you guys get a little claustrophobic in those little dinky offices that they stick in. So I'm doing my best to help, I do everything I can do to help. I'm trying. Now I forgot what you asked me.
No worries. I was saying that there's a big difference between working out individually and practicing individually and then finally getting together with that team atmosphere. What have you been emphasizing this week of practice to make sure your players are ready to go, considering it's going to be such a quick turnaround to the beginning of the season?
Well, we're blessed. We're blessed to have some guys that our guys work out together. Not that they don't come in on their own occasionally and get a lot of shots up, but they do work out a lot. I mean, generally when you hear a ball bouncing down there, it's more than one guy. And they play all the time. I mean, I think what we learned is we're so much better off having them here in the summer, particularly during a pandemic, than we are just saying, hey, everybody go home, you know. I think we learned that they're a lot safer here. And they have a tendency to be around their own, so to speak. So they're not alone very often. They play and they're playing against each other. You know, I think they get tired of playing against each other. You know, you get tired of the same guy fouling you all the time. You know, I got tired of Tommy Roberts fouling me all the time. I know that when I played here. I think that was Tommy's one thing that he felt like he did well. He fouled well and a lot. I don't notice that with these guys. You know, I really don't. They enjoy being around each other. It's a special group, I think, from the standpoint that they do appreciate each other. They're friends. We have some guys that, you know, kind of hang out a little bit more together, but a lot of that has to do with proximity to where they stay. We got a great group that gets along extremely well.
Awesome. Thanks, Coach.
We'll go to Michael from WMOV.
Coach, last time we talked, you sort of jokingly said that Oscar and Derek would like making shots if they tried it. So far, how have they looked offensively in practice, kind of particularly when they're on the floor together?
We haven't got them to try it yet. They haven't made many. You know, I think the first thing that we got to get those guys to do is finish around the rim. You know, when you look at where our problem started a year ago, it started with the fact that, one, those guys in particular, because they're going to get fouled more than everybody else, didn't make free throws. And secondly, take the Oklahoma game at Oklahoma, for instance, we missed 22 shots inside of 4 feet. 22. I think it starts with those guys being able to do what they're going to do in the game. And they're not going to shoot threes. They're not going to shoot any more than a 12 to 15 foot jump shot. They're working at their games. I think Derek's probably spent more time than he's spent in any time in his career. Oscar comes in. Oscar's working on getting shots. I understand, you know, when you roll and replace, which I think everybody in the world now has something in their arsenal about roll and replace, one of them's probably going to get a pretty good shot, you know, a 15, 17 foot or so for one of those guys. And again, I think that's what makes Isaiah so enticing, is the fact that he's a 6 foot 10 guy who can make 15, 17 foot shots consistently.
We'll go to Ethan.
Hey, Coach, I hope you're doing well. I just have a quick question. There was a game on the original schedule against Purdue in Brooklyn on the 13th of December. What is the status on that game now? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, that game's been it was initially going to be in Madison Square Garden, and then they couldn't do it in the Garden. So then they were going to do it in Barclays, and then they couldn't do it in Barclays. So they were going to do it in Mohegan Sun, and then with what happened, I think, with the Big Ten schedule, Purdue couldn't do it at all. So it's off the books. But it's been a long, they tried like crazy because they wanted to play the game. And obviously we tried like crazy because we wanted to play the game, but it just didn't work.
Okay, next we'll go to Carly.
Coach, saw that you added a new grad assistant with Juwan Staden. How did that come about, and what does he bring to the coaching staff?
Well, one, he's been playing, you know, he's been playing across the pond, so to speak, and decided that he wanted to come back and, one, most importantly, finish his master's degree, and two, you know, get his feet wet in the coaching profession. And we're excited about having him. He was obviously a great player here, and I think playing in Europe and learning more over there and being able to impart that. I mean, our guys really, they think the world of them, you know, He's got a great personality. He's very easily approachable, and he's been great for us. So I think, you know, it happens to all of us, you know, at some point in time, we just say, hey, enough, you know, it gets to where your knees and your ankles and your hips and everything just say, hey man, can't we do something else for a living?
Greg Hunter, you're up.
Bob, what kind of detriment is it not to be able to have an exhibition or the super secret scrimmage or those things? You just hit the season and your first game's your first game.
Well, I think that's what happens when people make decisions that don't know anything about what we do. I think it's awful. I mean, I think it's a tremendous detriment to our guys, you know, and for all of the propaganda that we get about, you know, all for the betterment of the student athlete, certainly not playing an exhibition game is not in the betterment of the student athlete. Those guys, those opportunities to where they can get out and play and learn and you know, not be scrutinized by whomever, by fans or media or whatever, I think it's tremendous. And I think it's an opportunity for guys who, I mean, we're going to go play Texas A&M in our first game. I mean, there's going to be guys not going to get in the game. I mean, let's be honest about it. And then after that, we're going to play Memphis or Ohio State. There's going to be guys not getting in the game. And then we're going to play Creighton or Dayton or somebody like that. And, I mean, it very well could be guys aren't going to get in the game. So you're going to play three games and guys aren't going to get in the game, where if you had a scrimmage, if you had an exhibition, you can play those guys. You can play them. They can feel more a part of the team. You can evaluate them a heck of a lot better. They can evaluate themselves a heck of a lot better. I just think and I might as well say it again. I mean, it's a decision made by people who don't know what the heck we do.
Okay, next we'll go to Cody Nesper.
Hey, Coach. I wanted to ask about in-state recruiting. Obviously, you have a few West Virginia guys this year. But just with the way recruiting is done now, do you think in-state recruiting is still as important as it was once upon a time?
Sure, I do. Yeah. I mean, we've got underclassmen in our state that are going to be recruitable, I think. I mean, you know, it's – everybody wants you to offer eighth graders now, you know. I mean, it's gotten a little out of control. But yeah, I mean, we're going to have guys come up in this state that I would think would be excited, blue and gold and playing in the company. And there's going to be guys that are good enough. I mean, obviously the guys that we have on the team right now, the in-state guys we have on the team, are very capable. And we just lost a couple. I mean, we just lost Chase and Logan, who contributed a whole lot to 4 years, in Logan's case, 5 years of really good basketball. I mean, go back to the Kansas State game. We're struggling to make a shot. We put Chase in. Chase makes two threes, puts the game away for us. That's an in-state guy from Moundsville. I mean, I'm very much in favor of recruiting in-state guys. And I mean, in-state guys can play. I mean, obviously, we don't want some guys that you can't put in the game, but I think it's really important. I think those guys go a long way in teaching other people, too, what it means to play here and how much it means to the people in this state. I think those guys go a long way in helping share that with, you know, it's one thing for us to try to tell them, it's another thing for their teammates to explain to them what it's about, representing this state, representing the people in this state in the form and fashion they deserve to be represented.
John Antonik, you're up.
I got two. One is along those lines with the last question about in-state recruiting. From where you are, why is Fairmont Senior produced all these high-level kids, not just for you with JB? Neil's got five of them. There's some other ones down the line. What do you see there that's led to that, where they've got these high level kids?
Well, they've got athletes there. I think that's the that right now, and it kind of goes, John. I mean, and you know this. It kind of goes in cycles.
Yeah,
goes in cycles where, you know, maybe the better athletes are in Southern West Virginia. Maybe some years they're in the Eastern Panhandle, and maybe some years they're right down the road. I like it better when they're right down the road, but you know, just from a getting back and forth standpoint, but. No, I mean they've had a heck of a run of athletes. You're talking about I don't know five of them. I know maybe three of them maybe have a chance to play for a lot of money, you know, in the future. So when you start talking that, then you're talking about guys that play at a very high level.
Yeah. Well, the second thing here, I know you haven't mentioned Deuce yet. Where is Deuce right now in terms of how he's playing? And is he a guy that can get more pressure on the rim from the guard position? Are you looking from that from him?
I think Deuce has improved, I think, one, tremendously. I think he's really studied being a point guard, you know, and being able to get other people involved. But at the same time, he's a guy, he's probably our best guy at creating his own shot when need. I can tell you this, John, from the point of calls and interest from people at the next level, he's the first name out of their mouth. Which I know shocks some of you, but that's the first name out of their mouth. I mean, he has really, I think, made a name for himself in basketball circles.
We'll go to Chris Anderson.
Coach, you mentioned the lack of a scrimmage being a big negative as a change from this pandemic, but with all the other changes, is there anything the program, or the NCAA has done differently that you'd like to see stick around after things get back to quote unquote normal?
No, not really. I mean, I think the changes that have been made, I think some of them are very necessary. I think some of them are not that necessary. I just fully believe this, you know, for again, all the rhetoric we hear. Why don't we do what's in their best interest? I think if we do what's in their best interest, I think all of a sudden then fans are going to enjoy it. They're going to come to love it. I think certain coaches enjoy doing what they're doing. Why can't we do it in their, you know, the problem is people.
Justin, we'll go to you. I think Coach is back now.
Okay. Coach?
Yeah, that was a heck of a speech, too, that you missed, Justin, by the way.
Is that right? Gave, I bet. It was getting off to a good start there.
To a blank screen.
Hey, another question about Derek. I think someone was asking earlier about what he was working on the court. I'm kind of wondering about you know, in the past, he's called himself a knucklehead for the way he's acted. And, you know, my personal opinion is he's probably grown up a good bit in the time that he's been here in college. I'm just kind of wondering, what kind of growth have you seen in him in that area? And is that, for you personally, one of the better joys of coaching is not only watching someone, you know, grow on the court as far as their game, but, you know, also off the court?
I think Derek's grown up quite a bit. I think his family would attest to that. I think certainly we would attest to that. He's grown up a great deal. You know, Derek's not an unintelligent person. I mean, when you look, Derek has been on the Big 12 honor roll two consecutive years as a freshman and a sophomore, and will, I'm sure, be on the academic honor roll again this year. He's an intelligent guy, you know. He's just, I mean, like a lot of people, you know, you're influenced a lot sometimes by the people that are around you. And I think getting here was one of the great things that happened to Derek. He's around people who have aspirations to be something special. And I think he's starting to realize the fact that he's a guy who can be special. He's an intelligent guy, and he's been blessed with an unbelievable body and great athleticism.
Okay, we'll go back to Michael.
How has the perimeter shooting looked so far in practice, and who are a couple guys that you expect to shoot the three at a high clip this year?
Refreshing. It's looked refreshing. Sean's had days where he's been unbelievable. And Taz has had days where he has really shot the ball extremely well, but they're not the only ones. Deuce is shooting it really well. I think Jordan's out of that slump that he went through a year ago. He's shooting it really well. We've got a lot of guys. JB can shoot it on the perimeter. I think what's happened to some of our guys is, you know, they were playing pretty well, and all of a sudden then they're out for 10 days and then they come back and they're kind of out of sorts, and it takes them a while to get back in the groove. But we're very capable of making perimeter shots. I mean, we're going to put three guys on the floor that can make perimeter shots as well as anybody.
Okay, we have time for three more. It'll be Greg, Justin, and then Skylar. Go ahead, Greg.
So, Bob, you mentioned that Purdue is out. Where are you in terms of your schedule, and have you heard anything from the Big 12 in terms of the conference schedule yet?
Yeah, we've heard that we're not going to get it for a while. I don't know. I hear different things. I mean, you hear that, hey, we're going to get it next week, and then you hear that we're going to get it at the end of the month. And I think in their defense, I think with all of these leagues and it kind of, you know, all coming down at the same time and everybody having issues, it's just been rough. I know this, we're going to be the first game on television. Our Texas A&M game will be the first game on television. And then our second game will be, I think, a game that everybody will watch before they cut into their Christmas turkey. So, you know, I think for West Virginia, I think it's the beginning of it is going to be really good. I have no idea what happens after that. None of us do.
Okay, back to Justin.
Hey, Coach, just kind of wondering, I know the Big 12 is probably working on guidelines in terms of how many fans and things like that will be allowed at the games. I'm just kind of wondering, have you heard anything in that area, and what would be your recommendation as to, you know, how many could be allowed in, you know, should any fans be allowed in? Just kind of wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, Justin, if I were you, I would call Steve Urias. He seems to be the resident expert in our department on that kind of thing. I mean that seriously. I mean, he has studied it, and he's been over at the Coliseum, I think, religiously working at what we need to do in the Coliseum to make it compatible with what everyone else is going to do. But I don't have any clue.
Our final question.
We're not going to be able to. The great thing about the Coliseum is we can put 25% of capacity in there and still have a home court advantage.
Okay, our final question will come from Skylar.
Hey, Coach, I know you guys have had you talked about it the last time about some of the junior college guys that come in scoring at a high volume. And then kind of have to figure things out in that first year. Where do you see Kedrian Johnson kind of fitting in that backcourt, even though it's a pretty loaded one?
Well, he's a talented guy. You know, I think we're playing at point right now. And I think, you know, with Deuce's versatility, we can play Deuce a lot of places. The X factor in what goes on this year is what happens if somebody catches COVID-19? You know, now all of a sudden they're 10 days, or worse yet, if their roommate catches it and they're in there with their room, then they're quarantined 14 days. So you're talking 2 weeks. So it's important, I think, that we are sensitive to the fact that we're going to have to play a lot of, we're going to have a lot of different parts at wing positions, at point guard, in a post, because you don't know, you know, when and how long this thing's going to go on.
And that was West Virginia coach Bob Huggins. Thanks for listening.